we're going to be talking all about GLP-1 medications. What do you need to know? So they're commonly prescribed for weight loss. We're talking about Ozempic, Wegovy, those kinds of drugs. They've done amazing things for people who've had to lose enormous amounts of weight. But questions remain about their safety and who they're actually suitable for. They're suitable for everybody or not. And it's for that reason that I have my first guest this afternoon on the line. He's Dr. Patrick Bennett, a general practitioner and founder of Flourish Weight Loss, to discuss the potential benefits, risks, and considerations for people who are thinking about taking these medications. Dr. Bennett, thanks for chatting to me this afternoon.
Simon, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's my second time, and I always do enjoy spending some time and getting cutting through, I guess, all of the myths and let's call it myth busting behind all the medications. Looking forward to get stuck into it.
So, unless somebody has been sleeping for the past couple of years, I expect everybody knows what exactly GLP-1 medications are. But maybe just very quickly recap: what are they?
Sure, absolutely. So as you said, they've been very topical as of late, I think made very famous by particular celebrities, including Oprah Winfrey as one of them. But the idea is that in the last couple of years, we found these diabetic drugs called GLP-1s. They are medications that are injectables. They started off as actually about 20 years ago, twice daily injectables, and we've evolved out to once weekly injectables. And they work on various different parts of the body, including the brain and the stomach, and a multitude of other organs as well. The main effect that we are seeing, which is very exciting, is for the first time, we've got a medication that works really well in terms of weight loss and has a very, very favorable side effect profile. So if you look historically, we had a lot of different medications which general practitioners could use to try and address this obesity epidemic. But many of them had horrible side effects, including things like tachycardias or very fast heart rates, panic attacks, and a whole lot of other cardiac or heart-related issues. So the very first time we got access to these medications, which actually have a very favorable side effect profile, as I've mentioned, but also are clinically replicable results, meaning that, you know, according to very, very high quality studies, we are seeing a very, very good number or percentage of body weight loss, which is really exciting.
How is it that a drug that was used to control diabetes suddenly became the wonder drug of the world and suddenly the side effect of weight loss discovered? I mean, surely they've been around for a while and clinical trials have been conducted, and surely you knew this years and years ago.
Correct. So I think there's a distinction between the newer generation GLP-1s and the older ones. So okay. We got a lot better at allowing these medications to last longer. So we actually have GLP-1 within our body produced naturally inside our intestines, but it lasts around about a minute or two before it's broken down and disappears from the body. And not until we actually found, and this is quite an interesting story, but not until we actually started studying something called the Gila monster, or the Gila monster, depending on how you want to pronounce it, mm-hmm. Did we find this, we were studying this Gila monster in science to see how it survived so long during fasted states. So there would be periods of extended fasting or non-eating, and this Gila monster could survive that. And what they found was a molecule that was basically exactly the same as a GLP-1, but it was resistant to being broken down. And so from that discovery, we started using it in diabetics because it does have a very favorable effect in terms of blood glucose and insulin and the rest of that. And as we got better at manufacturing and processing in the newer generations of molecules, the longer that it lasted, we started to see an improvement in the weight loss. So we went from twice daily to once a day to once a week. Once we started to use these once weekly GLP-1s, that's when we really started to notice the weight loss. And that's when studies were directly done.
Interesting.
To see if that was possible. Yeah.
Interesting. So, I have all these interim questions, but I'm actually going to jump to my very last question. My last question to you was, would you take them and would you prescribe them for a family member who required it?
So I'm going to jump to the last question because that's the easier one to answer. Yes, I would definitely prescribe it to a family member under the right
Interesting.
indications, and I think we can get into that as well. I think there's, if you look at the statistics, we haven't got on top of obesity worldwide. It's been an increasing epidemic, and it's linked to currently it's the number one. If you look at South Africa, in terms of the number one killer. It's non-communicable diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, which are all intricately linked to obesity and overweight, as being sort of the number one risk factor. So we haven't found a good way to tackle this as of yet. If for the right indications, I would absolutely use it. For the right indications for family members, again, definitely would look at using yes.
That's interesting. If I was a betting man, I didn't know which way you were going to go on that. It does seem to me, though, that we're not really tackling the problem, which is the rubbish that's in our food today and the industrialization and the added addition of sugars and other addictive substances that is causing an obesity epidemic amongst kids. I mean, it seems to me that in America, there's certain companies who are now working on providing these sorts of medications to children. What's your view on that?
So I think it's been approved actually within the use of pediatrics. I think from 12 and older, we've got good data. So it really depends. If you're looking at the risk factor of someone who has, and I think there's a twofold here. Yes, our environment has changed significantly, meaning that we don't have to have periods of fasting and chasing antelope in the savannah, et cetera, et cetera. We have a we have an abundant supply of very, very highly palatable and calorie-rich foods at our disposal at a thumb press, which is a very different environment. And our genes haven't caught up to that. Our genes have for the year for many, many years, the humans who could store the most amount of fat off of food were the ones that survived essentially because there were periods of famine, there were periods of difficulty, food resources were scarce. So genetics plays a massive role in the development of obesity and overweight. And there's a multitude of studies that confirm this as well. So it's so multifactorial that it's quite a difficult thing to address. And if you look at the United States, they've implemented, and even locally, they've implemented multiple public health attempts at trying to curb the obesity epidemic, but it just, even those attempts, nothing has seemed to work. So we can't seem to crack it. And until this time, we've had nothing, no tools in our arsenal to look at reversing it. So it's one of the tools for sure, in reversing all of it. But the truth is that the change, lasting change, and the proper change comes from making all of the habit change. And the rest of that comes along with the medication that the medication enables.
That's interesting because I would have thought a whole bunch of people would have thought, well, I don't need to make those changes. All I have to do is take the injection and those issues go away. That's clearly not the case. So you're saying it's important that the lifestyle changes are made in accordance with the particular drug.
I think that's probably the most important message that I tell my patients at the beginning of their journey, because I think everyone thinks that, it's hyped up in the media. So it becomes this silver bullet, but in actual fact, and all of my patients can attest to it as well. Whenever you're using these medications, it's a great lever to pull to help, leverage those changes. So you start to see the weight, they start to see the weight disappearing. It becomes a little bit easier to remain in a calorie deficit, so it becomes easier to make all these different changes. But the truth is, without those changes, number one, the sustainability is never going to happen, and studies have confirmed that as well. Because just like anything else, your high blood pressure doesn't disappear just because you're on medication. The same thing with the original cause. So you have to try and address things at the root cause, which is probably the most important thing that we try to do at Flourish, is convey that message and do the rest of the hard work that accompanies the GLP-1s.
Doc, are you on them for life?
So that really depends on how you address it. There's some people who, if you don't make the lifestyle changes, I'll tell them that you would probably want to be on it for life. For some people, we have seen that on the highest dose, 2.4 milligrams of Wegovy, a 20% reduction in things like heart attacks and strokes, regardless of the weight loss. So there seem to be other benefits that come with it, protecting, from heart attack and a stroke perspective. So some people might want to stay on it for those indications. But the truth is that if you make the right choices and you look at addressing the core factors and making the habit change, doing the hard part that accompanies the GLP-1s, you can definitely look at coming off of them, and you don't have to be on them for life.
I'm looking at my clock and I'm thinking, my goodness, it's not fair to deal with a subject like this in 10, 12 minutes. This needs an hour, that is for sure. So I'm really going to pull out the very most important questions in my mind. If I'm standing in front of you and
Go
I'm looking
for
for a
it.
framework to try and decide, should I or shouldn't I take these tablets, what do I need to weigh up?
So, first things first, I mean, you have to weigh up, you have to be in front of a doctor because, just like any medication, there's no medication that comes without its own inherent risks or side effects. And you have to make sure that it's right for you. So making sure that you don't have any contraindications, that's up to the medical professional to make that assessment. But if you're someone who's sitting there and you've tried absolutely everything, you've tried the diets, you've tried the exercise, you can feel, that you're not where you should be. You feel like you want to get healthier, but the tools just don't seem to fit you. I think the message is that don't give up hope because there is something. And it's not just a matter of your own personal willpower. There's a lot of biological factors, there's a lot of medical factors that go into this disease. So don't feel alone, don't feel ashamed to ask for help, to look for help, because there are options out there. And if you're someone who's looking, you might find someone who's morbidly obese, who's working out at the gym. And you're going, okay, well, they just, what are they doing? They're kind of just sitting around. But listen, that's someone who's trying to make a difference in their life. And it's the same thing with people who are looking for a solution. They come to us because they say, listen, I've tried everything, it's nothing's working, and I really want to get healthier. And that's something that people shouldn't be ashamed of. It should be something that people are happy to reach out for help. And that's the message that I have for anyone who's looking in this industry, is to, if you're looking to do it the right way from the beginning. Just because you only got one shot at life and you only got one shot at health as well. So it's important to make sure that you're doing it in the correct environment with the correct professionals to guide you.
Is there somebody, are there certain pre-existing conditions which for you are an absolute no-no? Just don't go near these tablets, it's gonna work.
So there are a few. I mean, if you look at the black label kind of warnings, so we've got any previous what we call medullary thyroid cancer, so type of thyroid cancer. There's been increased risk in rodent models, not so much in the humans, but definitely something I would strongly advise against if there's ever been any history of thyroid cancer. There's also a very rare disorder called multiple endocrine neoplasia. That's also one of the side effect or one of the contraindications, which there's been an increase. So it's a syndrome of once again cancers in various organs, and because thyroid is one of them, it's been linked within rodent trials. So once again, wouldn't look at using the medication. And then obviously the other two or the other three are pregnant, breastfeeding, or if you've ever had any previous anaphylaxis or serious allergic reaction to the medications, then definitely not for you. Other than that, there are sort of, I would say, yellowy orange flags, which I would consider. So anyone who's got a history of pancreatitis, definitely have a proper assessment with a doctor. A diabetic on multiple medications, definitely something to look, rather be make sure that you're guided by a medical professional. History of gallbladder diseases, even though that's an indirect consequence, that's usually related to rapid weight loss, which is why, once again, very good to have oversight and make sure that your trajectory isn't too fast. And then the last one is something called gastroparesis. So if you have a, it's generally found in diabetics. And what happens is that you have already got very, very, very slow gastric emptying, meaning your stomach takes very long to get rid of the food that's within it. And that's usually due to what happens when you are a diabetic for an extended, so long period of time of relatively uncontrolled diabetes and the high sugars. And then obviously just due to the way the medication works in terms of slowing down the way your body processes food, it can put you at risk of almost paralyzing or really slowing down that stomach till it's almost not working. And that, you know, that's something that's a horrible side effect. So very, very rare, but definitely, I mean, I've yet to see it, but it has been, you know, it has been described. You know, we're talking about 6 or 7 out of 10,000 people. So it's a risk, very tiny, but still something I would consider. So I think the lesson there is if you're looking to get this done, make sure you have someone who knows what they're doing and can make sure that's the right medication for you.
Dr. Bennett, unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave it there. We haven't got to cost. There is so much more to chat about, but we just dipped our toe in the water this afternoon. Thanks for chatting to me on Chai FM this afternoon.